B-Pod Studios.
Now,
Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, follow-up story, and a pretty twisted one. You may remember this. A cannibal who murdered his grinder date before eating his testicles has been found unresponsive in his cell after barely eating since his arrest in December. I wonder what spoiled his appetite.
Once you've had balls.
Yeah. Mark Lutsunsky, or Lutsunsky, was found in his cell at Shiawassee County Jail in Michigan around 5 p.m. Tuesday. It's unclear what caused him to pass out, but deputies were able to revive him with smelling salts. They then took him to the hospital as a precaution. Sheriff Brian Begol said that Lutsunsky's food intake has been down since Friday, but not to the point where we'd call it a hunger strike. But in previous reports, the sheriff said he hadn't eaten since he was booked in December. Lutsunsky, former chemist, confessed to killing 25-year-old hairstylist Kevin Bacon, if you recall.
Yes, I do remember that.
And then eating his testicles on Christmas Eve.
It's kind of magical.
He has not yet had his court date, but a judge had accepted an insanity plea. In January, a judge ordered a mental health assessment to determine...
Oh, he's crazy, I would say.
...if he was fit to stand trial, and it's unclear why he had been refusing to eat.
We have a gentleman here who ate his date's testicles, and we want to find out if he's crazy.
Yeah. An Oregon City man who retaliated against drivers that he deemed discourteous by intentionally tossing roofing nails from his car onto busy streets dozens of times was sentenced to 30 days in jail. Brett Michael Wilson, 57 years old, pleaded guilty last month to criminal mischief. The judge also ordered Wilson to, who police had dubbed the nighttime nailer, to pay more than $2,000 in restitution and undergo a mental health evaluation.
I wonder if they have little divisions within each precinct that's charged with naming these different things, like the nighttime nailer.
The prosecutor said he was a menace to Oregon City for years. Police documented dozens of cases in which cars were damaged by nails in the road.
How much damage was caused, did they estimate?
No, not monetary.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a lot.
Authorities finally arrested Wilson in October after officers who were on the hunt for the nighttime nailer saw him chuck fistfuls of nails from his car as he drove along before dawn.
What a bastard.
After he was nabbed, the suspect copped to scattering the metal spikes numerous times before him.
Yeah, I did it. Do it again.
His early morning ritual, always done before sunrise as to avoid detection, was in response to drivers he felt were rude or had slighted him.
It's the best part of waking up.
It was his form of anger management, and it made him feel better. The man also told police that he would buy $40 buckets of nails at Home Depot to cover his tracks. Often, Wilson would go through three buckets of nails in a few months. He called it, quote, random acts of kindness.
Aww.
And so, meanwhile, you know, maybe he got the person he was going after, but several other people,
of course,
would get flat tires, too.
Well, there's always collateral damage.
Of course, yes. This is messed up. A skier appears to have suffocated to death at a Colorado resort after he fell through an opening in a chairlift seat and became caught with his coat wrapped around his head and neck.
Oh, God.
From New Jersey, too. Jason Varnish of Short Hills died of positional asphyxia at Vail Mountain's Blue Sky Basin area. The death has been ruled an accident, but authorities are still investigating how it happened. An initial investigation found the chairlift's folding seat was upright instead of in the down position, leaving a gap. Varnish's coat became caught in the chair when he slipped through the gap. The coat ended up going around his head and neck area, putting his neck in a position that compromised his airway. Blue Sky Basin was closed for about 24 hours after the accident. They're obviously investigating that.
Wow. So don't you assume that they're always under watch when, you know?
It's a long way up.
I know it's a long way up.
I mean, yeah, there are long stretches, Steve, where it's you're just going over areas where there's either, you know, one or two skiers, and it's just, you know, they take you way up there.
Yeah,
so I don't know the story on that particular one. A woman and her 16-year-old daughter were arrested Friday after deputies in Washington said she posed as a newborn photographer and drugged a mother.
Oh, my God.
The woman was planning to steal the newborn baby to raise as her own.
Oh wow.
They also believe there may have been other victims who have not come forward. Juliet Parker, Juliet Knoll, or Juliet Gaines are who they are looking for, or who they were looking for. A woman called 911 after she suddenly began feeling numbness and drowsiness and was vomiting.
I don't feel so good.
The woman told firefighters she thought she was drugged. After seeking further treatment in the hospital, the victim contacted the sheriff's department to file a police report. The victim told deputies that she believed she was drugged by a woman who had come to her house posing as a photographer. The victim reported that she had met the suspect through a post on a newborn baby group on Facebook where the suspect had advertised free photos of newborn babies so she could the suspect could build her portfolio.
It said free, but we get to keep your baby.
Investigators said the suspect came to the victim's residence three times, photographed the woman's newborn, was observed taking cell phone selfies with the victim's baby, and was seen wiping her fingerprints off of items that she touched inside the victim's home.
Oh, man.
In the third incident, the suspect and the suspect's teenage daughter gave the victim a cupcake to eat. The victim reported feeling numb and drowsy immediately after eating the cupcake. The victim told the suspect that her daughter told her daughter to leave the home. And after they left, the suspect noticed that the suspect had stolen her house keys.
Jeez.
So those two were arrested Friday afternoon, so they got him. How terrifying is that?
Do you have a rag so I can wipe my fingerprints off everything?
Wow, man. All right.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
More than 60 young women at a school in India have said they were forced to strip and show their underwear to teachers in order to prove that they were not on their period.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Some 68 female students were told to undress after a used sanitary napkin was found in the garden of Sahajanad Girls Institute. One of the students said the principal abused and insulted us, asking which of us were having our periods. Two of us were menstruating and stepped aside. Despite this, we were all taken to the washroom. Their female teachers asked us to individually remove our undergarments so that they could check if we were menstruating.
My God.
The college is run by the conservative Swaminarayan Hindu sect, and a trustee said the girls were informed about the hostile rules before they took admission. So they're saying they knew about this ahead of time.
Well, you shouldn't have had your period.
These rules include restrictions on menstruating females who are not allowed to enter the temple and kitchen, socialize, or touch other students, or sleep inside the hostel.
Huh.
While menstruating, students must stay in the basement.
Oh, my God.
Honestly,
oh my God.
If you thought Carrie had it bad,
wow. India's National Commission for Women said that it was investigating the incident. Menstruation is heavily stigmatized in much of India and other parts of South Asia, where women are often forbidden from places of worship while on their period. According to UNICEF, in India, menstruation is considered dirty and impure, and during periods, girls are discouraged to attend schools and stay at home. Dear God, you're in the Stone Age!
I mean, listen, might not be that bad of an idea. No, I'm just kidding.
The country scrapped a controversial tax on sanitary pads in 2018, which was seen as eliminating a major barrier to girls attending school. As many as 8 in 10 Indian women and girls are estimated to not have access to sanitary pads.
Oh, my God. Ridiculous.
Wow. A former flight attendant with American Airlines said that he was unfairly terminated from his job after failing a breathalyzer test, claiming that his keto diet was responsible for the false positive.
I'm on the keto diet.
Andre Riley, who had been hired at American Airlines in 2012, was terminated last year following a breathalyzer test administered after a Las Vegas to Charlotte flight.
I'll be nothing but ketos.
He said, I wasn't drinking, claiming he had only changed his diet. Riley, however, had previously failed a company breathalyzer in 2013 in an incident that was determined to be related to drinking. The Department of Transportation has policy that bars anyone who fails more than once from working aboard an aircraft for any employer.
I'm on the Slim Fast diet.
Riley's claim about the keto diets aren't entirely unfounded. According to a doctor who spoke with Men's Health in 2019 that the keto diet was gaining popularity, certain breathalyzer equipment may give false positives when used by people in ketosis. The confusion, he says, may lie in the difference between ethanol alcohol released through the breath after drinking and isopropyl alcohol, which is released through the breath when the liver breaks down fat.
Interesting.
Some devices aren't able to differentiate between isopropyl and ethanol alcohol, he said.
So when they do a breathalyzer test like the state troopers, do they also test for keto?
I don't know. Riley's lawyer claimed that Riley was asked to submit a breathalyzer following a flight, at which point he blew a 0.0050 and a 0.0052. I mean, that's just the tiniest bit. Riley's colleague never observed any smell or intoxicated behavior from Riley during the previous four-hour-plus flight.
Maybe he has something.
So he might have something there. I've never heard of that before.
So they're not smelling it on his breath.
Nope.
It showed up in my breathalyzer.
Okay. Yep.
Gainesville police are investigating jars of preserved human remains found in the crawl space of a house. And it's interesting what they found. The remains were discovered during an inspection of the house foundation. The home was previously owned by Dr. Ronald A. Bauman, a former University of Florida researcher and current professor emeritus who published studies in the 1970s and 80s. Now, they're looking into the possibility that the human remains are related to work that Dr. Bauman may have brought home and stored under the house's floorboards. Some of the jars date back as far as the 1960s, and they contain only human tongues.
Tongues, that's his thing.
Yeah. But why would you put them under the floorboards of a house?
Isn't that good luck? Don't you have a... buy a house, aren't you supposed to put a jar of tongues under the floorboard?
Maybe from the old country. Luck, yeah. That's how we do it in Sicily.
Sorry.
Yeah, they bring you, a loaf of bread, some salt.
Right, and a tongue.
A human tongue, yeah. So, police in Cedar Rapids, Iowa arrested a man after he allegedly kidnapped a woman and forced her to watch Roots, a 1977 TV miniseries about slavery.
You sit right there and you watch this.
Robert Lee Noy was arrested Monday. A criminal complaint stated Noy forced the victim to watch the show. Which is a nine-hour historical miniseries, so she could, quote, better understand her racism, he said.
Wow.
And the complaint also stated the suspect told the victim that he would, quote, kill her and spread her body parts across Interstate 380 on the way to Chicago if she did not sit and watch Roots.
So he was trying to work with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Noy is charged with first-degree harassment and false imprisonment. So
forced her to watch Roots.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll wrap it up right there.
Wow.
That's what I got in the Bizarre File for you this morning.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click On Demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.